What's good, Waging World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas. Broadcast live as always from beautiful Summit in Nevada. But my heart is in Houston, Texas. I'm in here with my two co-hosts. Let's first start with the monkey man. My guy, man, the youngest cat to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. My brother from another. What's good, Cino Royale?
Wow, what's up, Five Star? So excited about this show, man. Coming off a lot of winners. I've seen people in the comments, they was loving what we were doing. I got my baby with me right now. NBA season is back. Me and Spread, time to shine. You know how we coming. Let's get some winners, baby.
I see it's time for no bank account again. All right, we also with the OG of the show, man. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I know, my brother. What's good, Spreaders? How are you today?
Oh, man, I watching last night, I realized it's going to be a long season for a Kings fan because, you know, our real joy comes from rooting against the Lakers, and they might be pretty good this year.
That's funny because the name of this show is Just Admit You're a Hater.
That's me. I admit I'm the biggest Laker hater of all time.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Hey, I feel the same way about the Dodgers and the Yankees. I won't be watching 1 second of the World Series. I'm boycotting it this year. But as you said, the NBA kicked off. Before we even get into the topics, we appreciate everyone for being a part of the Waging World. You are the Waging World. It's always us versus the machine. Hit that like button right now. Send out this link to any of your friends. Let them know that this is the best place to come get sports betting information. We don't do any of the frills, any of the fake stuff, any of the trying to appease one. The only person that we're asking to is you, and we're trying to win money for you, man. So hit that like button right now for the Waging World. All right, let's get into it. Spread on NBA last night. You're an NBA guy. Before we go to the past, oh, you can leave it in the past. The NBA. Let's kick it off with the NBA. What did you see last night with Bronny's big debut in the Timberwolves?
I'll let you take care of that topic because
I want to hear your honest opinion, so I can, because I want to push back so I can get you on my side.
I literally don't care. I literally don't care. It's the ESPNization of where they've taken away sports from the actual game being played.
I heard it's more. It's money. It's big money.
I know. So much great stuff happened. Well, it was only two games, right? But we had plenty of actual sports to talk about. But all I wake up this morning and just see the debate. Because half of them, like you said, are the haters. They go, oh, he don't deserve a spot in the NBA. And so my only final thing is this has been going on probably since before I was born. But let's go back to David Falk, who was the agent for Michael Jordan.
Right.
There was plenty of quid pro quo going on then when he was the top agent in the NBA.
Right.
The only reason we didn't talk about it is because no one was related. But there were things going on. You want this guy? You better sign this other guy that's my client. So this has been going on for years. I don't know how many spots there are, 450 total. It's never been the best 450 players in the world.
No.
And as long as they continue to have guaranteed contract, I mean, we're going to complain about Bronny James taking up a roster spot and Ben Simmons gets paid. There's 100 guys in the league.
Kid from France who's probably like 17 on somebody's roster right now that's not going to play for 5 years.
So
nobody care about him, though.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. It just comes down to they want to make everything polarizing. We know LeBron's the most polarizing probably person in sports right now. And, you know, it's just another way to get eyes off what actually happened on the court and talk about – people just want to argue. Right? That's all I saw this morning. This is great. Half the people go, this is a disgrace. It's like, it's not.
It's a disgrace. And it's so crazy because all the people are saying that there are just people who don't like it when a certain other person or type of people get the power that the others utilize every day. And that's the problem, man. It's cool, though, if Bob has been working 21 years for Exxon, because LeBron's been in the NBA 21 years. If Bob's the top oil executive at Exxon, he worked there for 21 years. He's bought Exxon millions of dollars. Mind you, LeBron has bought the NBA billions of dollars. And guess what? Near 21, his son is in college. And old Bob Jr., Bobby, he comes up to Exxon. Everybody's celebrating. They're so happy. Oh, you got him in. Welcome to the family. Everybody's all happy in the community. Yeah, Bob got Bob Jr. over at Exxon with him. But now, when LeBron someone who's polarizing. And why is he polarizing? He's a family man. Besides the dick stuff, we're going to leave that out to the side because we don't know what's happening with that. We don't know what he did. We know that him and Diddy was cool, but that's not what we're talking about right now. Right now, we're talking about the sports aspect of it and him bringing on his son. Every man wants his son to do better than he did. Every man is going to use his leverage to make life better for his son. I do it every day. What do you mean? I'll call anybody I need to for Noah, for my 22-year-old back in Houston. And anything he needs, I'm going to call up a favor if I can, because I've earned that right from the work I put in those relationships that I established. And as I said, Bob at Exxon can do it. Johnny at Wells Fargo can do it. Mark right now is doing it at UPS. Right now, he's somewhere at the UPS. He was the manager for 20 years. And guess who we got on? Mark Jr. And now Mark Jr. is on the floor throwing boxes because his dad put in work with that company. All of this is based, man, on racism. And nobody wants to deal with that and accept the fact of it. It's a bunch of people who are used to being in control that look at this guy and they get mad because you don't like him. That's what it's about. Why aren't you tweeting about every assistant coach who's in the NFL or NBA who's an assistant coach or a scout because their parents were scouts, man? Why aren't you talking about all these politicians whose parents were politicians and that's how they got in the door? Stop it, man. Don't just make it about, oh, it's Bronny. He doesn't deserve to be there. Man, just be truthful. You don't like LeBron. You don't like LeBron. You don't like what he represents because you think that he's a black dude or, in your probably word, an N-word that you don't like, and he has no business deserving to be up there doing what he's supposed to do. But other people in society have been doing this for years, man. So why does the buck stop now with LeBron? It just pisses me off because it shows me we have so far to go as a society. We say all of these things about racism doesn't exist and nobody stopping nobody from doing nothing. You might not be stopping, but the hate is still in a lot of people's hearts, man. Because it makes no sense for you to have a problem with any man doing something to help his son. And especially when it's an industry that this guy has gave so much to. How much money has the NBA made on James? Like, let's be for real, man. So it's just a bunch of BS to me, man. I'm not going to stay on the long because it gets me upset when they talk about, like, Prime trying to help Shador, LeBron helping his son, when for millions and millions of years, I know where I grew up at. I saw it all the time with white boys helping their sons get into position. Stop it, man. Stop it, man. Just stop it. I'm tired of this, man. Everybody needs to understand, no matter what your color is, you have the right to be a man. You want the same things for your son as I want for my son. It's nothing wrong with me using what I've earned to get that. Go ahead, Sino, because I'm about to get hyped.
Big bro, I feel just the way you feel, and I couldn't have said it any better. Like I said, I don't know, our minds be in the same place a lot. And when Bronny James, let me get that right, was born, what Bron was like in his second season in NBA, excuse me, he's about to make me mad too. This is 22nd season now, right? Yeah. I didn't give y'all 22 years of my body, and I'm talking about playing two more. I might get out 25, and I'm doing all this, and I'm getting all this hate and criticism because I didn't put my son on. Huh? What? And it's so crazy that I felt that they got that out the way last night, letting Bronny James play. And it was I wish Bronny James would have made that 3-point shot. Oh my God. And the assist came from LeBron James. They got that out the way, you know, because now they can focus on basketball and stuff like that. Will we see Bronny a lot now? I'm not sure because the Lakers, they got a lot of work to do. Because Minnesota could have came back last night. They could have came back and won that game. We've seen that. Will they stay healthy? Is that a question? I'm loving what I'm seeing in Dalton Connect. The Lakers, they got some new pieces and stuff, but down the line, they still a young team, but back to Bronny James and LeBron, man, come on, we got to do better. Just like Five Star said, if that was any other company, any other situation, we'd be praising. If the Walmart guy, the general manager at Walmart, his son pushing buggies, he let him work all the way up. He's now in the gym. Everybody, it's a success story. LeBron James is doing it now. They want his son to go play video games. Man, and Bronny James is actually working. That's what people don't understand. Like, the kid out damn near died, had a heart attack. Like, for real. And he come back to this. And, like, for you to work, putting the ethic, like, he really can kick his feet up and not have to do anything.
I don't have to do shit.
Nothing. I can play 2K and get fruits fed to me and have all the Instagram models for real. And be. I don't have to do none of this, but to have to drive, the will to get up every day and still want it, man.
Nobody's saying, Casper Ruud, your dad played in tennis. What are you doing? You're rich. What are you doing, Casper Ruud? Your dad played tennis. What are you doing?
It's embarrassing, man. And
nobody wants to admit the truth, and that's what the way of the world is about. And y'all know I love everybody.
That's
y'all
what
know, one, I don't stand on none of that stuff. On Fred has known me a long time. He can tell you out there what we talk about all the time. I can't stand people who lean on the crutch of racism and all that, because I feel like what my grandmother told me when I was a little boy back in Monroe, Louisiana. My grandmother was born in 1912. She was one generation out of slavery. So if anyone had an excuse, she did. And she always told me, nothing can stop a made up mind. Can't nobody stop you from doing nothing. It don't matter who it is. If you want it, you can get it. So I'm not using it as a crutch. I don't play all of that, you know, race card mess. But I know when race card is being used. I know when people have a hate for someone. So as the topic of the show said, just admit you a hater. Just admit you a hater, man. Just say I don't like LeBron. But stop putting it on Bronny and y'all roasting this kid who's working his tail off, had a heart attack, and is doing what any other kid from a wealthy family does and is using his father's connections to become better in life. This world has always been about access, man, and about who you know, not what you know. So when it's on the other, the shoe's on the other foot, don't get mad. Don't get mad, man. Just accept it. It goes on every day. All right, let's get to the basketball side of things. Fred, you said that the Lakers were good this year. What did you see?
I mean, you know, because you really liked Darvin Ham, I thought that he was getting unfairly criticized last night. But the offense looked a lot cleaner under J.J. Redick. So, you know, sometimes we come on here and we take L's, and I was saying Ham's being unfairly criticized, but we have to admit that Redick's modernized that offense.
Yeah, it looked good.
Give the Lakers credit, and, you know, if Anthony Davis is going to play like that, they're like a real contender in the West, especially with so many of these other teams have problems. But you know what I want to talk about, and I want to get your opinion on this, because I think you and I are both as high on this young man. I think Anthony Edwards is going to waste his career in Minnesota, man. Bro, you surround – LeBron's running around with Anthony Davis, and you got him with Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert. You got to be kidding me.
I'm glad they had those guns, Fred.
And in the long term, that was a smart move, because Randle's deal expires at the end of the year. Cat had a four-year deal.
Yeah.
So they're getting off the salary, but – they paid Rudy a bunch of money.
That pissed me off.
He in trouble, man. I feel bad. I want him to be good so bad. I wrote about it this morning. It's going to be out in a bit. My three favorite players are saddled on terrible organizations. Anthony's on Minnesota. Edwards is on Minnesota. He got no teammates there. Jokic is on cheap Denver. They keep getting rid of all the depth, and they want him to take it all. They're not going to be able to compete. And Giannis is on Milwaukee, where they traded away Jrue Holiday for the ghost of Dame Lillard, and they hired Doc Rivers. So my three favorite players are on these just organizations that have been inept for a long, long time, and it's just very frustrating to me. What did you guys see?
Go ahead, Cito.
Five star. Spread. Anthony Edwards, just seeing him, giving it his all, like just the emotion and the passion he was showing on the court last night, clapping his hands, screaming at his teammates on national television, like, y'all wake up, what are y'all doing? And they brought in Bogdanovich over there. He just shooting threes out his damn mind. That's what they brought him there for, and you will have to make those threes. In the first half, he was gone. He was empty. And the Lakers, again, will they be consistent like that? They knew everybody was watching. They knew this was one of the biggest moments of all time. And I'm such a fool. I bet against the Lakers last night. I had the Minnesota Timberwolves. I did bet the Lakers. I had a first quarter. And I had a chance to win. D'Angelo Russell missed the shot at the end, of course. But they wasn't going to let LeBron James and his son lose that game. I was such a fool. And again, was that all energy last night? Was that just all the hype? Will the Lakers be like that? AD showed up nice, but once he started to get down the line, will you continue to play like that? Looked like he, you know, developed a nice mid-range from last night. It's getting better. But it's the NBA. A lot of games, long time spread. We're going to see what the Lakers going to do. They got to stay healthy. Again, injuries beat them, so let's see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're not the favorite here. OKC, to me, now becomes the favorite in the West.
Young Bucks.
And we know that Dallas is going to be really good, too. And I'd say that Boston is head and shoulders above that. But, you know, there's real contenders and there's unreal contenders. Like, for example, I was talking with my buddy this morning. I think the Kings can win 50 games, but they're not real contenders. The team's not built for the playoffs. The Lakers can win playoff series. just because they have the size. And if Davis and LeBron are playing well, you know, those two players can actually lead you to a title. So, I mean, the Celtics, though, don't they look head and shoulders above the rest of the league as of right now?
Yeah, they do. But it's still, it's just the first game. And I do think that they are going to win the championship. They don't even really got to stay healthy. As long as they got Jason Tatum and Brown, they'll be okay.
Most definitely.
They just lose anything else around them, and they still might win the championship because they have a system. They have veteran wings. Getting back to the Lakers and Minnesota game, we took the Lakers first half of the clients and I, and we took them for the game, money line. We're able to cash both of those. I made that bet strictly off the fact that what happened in that first game. The Celtics blew out the Knicks so bad, and I know it was so much public money, and the books took such a bath on that one. I had to take the other side of the public on that and fade them, and most of the public was against LeBron. They don't think the Lakers are that good, of course. They don't like LeBron. They're mad about Bron, and they're mad about several things. And the Lakers are kind of polarizing their team somewhat like the Dodgers and Yankees, just people love to hate anyway. So I used that to our benefit, and we faded the public, man, and we took the Lakers, and it came out right for us. Minnesota's going to be all right. It's the beginning of the year. That brand new group playing together. Julius Randle still trying to figure out how he's going to fit in on this team. DiVincenzo is not going to be too late for three-pointer every night. He's going to catch hot streaks. He's not going to be a minus five on the court. Mike Conley was a minus 22. That's what they need to start thinking about. Like, is Mike Conley really the point guard at his age? Maybe they need to try to get a bigger, stronger, faster guy. Maybe start DiVincenzo at the point. Maybe start Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a point guard. He played that at Virginia Tech. Maybe they need to let him start and bring Conley off the bench, because Conley isn't much. And I don't know why they added Joe Ingles. That just was a wasted position player that they had right there. How did I look at the, you know, how they put this team together? I see why Anthony Edwards was a little sad that Cap was gone, because now he doesn't really have a big dog to go with him. It's just all him by himself, you know.
And that's how I felt last night after watching the game. I'm like, damn, New York really wanted this trade. I felt Cat should have still been there. I don't care what nobody say. After watching what I seen last night, Cat should have been there, because again, it'll open up the game, spread the floor a little bit more. But Anthony Edwards, good luck to you this season, my man. You're definitely going to need it.
He's going to need it, man. And Cat, he's not a good defensive player, but he at least tried.
Yeah.
And the thing that pissed me off watching Randall, he wasn't trying, man.
Nothing. And, it's and like you he didn't want to be there, the energy, bro. I'm like, what's going on?
And you would think Randall would want to show up for L.A. They traded him away. And did you hear Anthony Davis in the postgame? They say, you know, what led to your big game? And he said, well, we knew we were going to attack Randall. And that's exactly what happened. And he showed no energy out there. And like I said, Towns isn't a good defender, but at least he gave effort. And I think that trickles down and it translates to your team. You guys have been out there. You playing 4-on-5, right? You just get pissed. It's just so frustrating if you got one guy that's not trying on one end of the ball. And so Chris Finch got his work cut out for him, because Randall already got his money. He don't really need to work hard. I'm really concerned about how that team goes. But we'll see. Of course, that is a tough opening night. Los Angeles was excited, and they're at full strength. One thing about the Lakers is the first time they've had continuity. Usually they flip the whole roster, right? Eight new people. They actually had the least roster turnover of almost any team in the league last season, and I think that helped them last night.
What I took from all of those games is this, and just like we know as NFL bettors, don't put too much stock in the first game as the season goes. The Celtics are as good as they look.
Hey, that's what I was about to get to.
The Knicks aren't as bad as they look. The Knicks are going to win a lot of games.
I agree with you on the Knicks. I don't know if I'm there with the T-Wolves there. I agree with you on the Knicks, though.
They'll be all right. They'll be all right. They'll be a play in.
They'll be all right. But like
four to play in somewhere. It's regular season, man. You know, they're like – Anthony Edwards is going to – he's the type of competitor, and he's young and has all this energy, and he's got all this, you know, athletic ability. He's not injured a lot, so he wants to run and play every day. You know, every game he's coming to bring his best, and he's a quarterback at heart, so he's going to make those guys play with him and run with him. So they're going to beat the people they're supposed to beat. You know, like, they'll get it together. Julius Randle and him might get into it if Randle don't get it together, because Anthony type is going to call him out about that, and I don't know how – Julius Randle's going to respond being a Dallas guy. We'll see how that all turns out with those two.
I mean, Randle will probably be on the bench in a month, and the team will probably look better.
That's what I'm thinking. He probably
I don't think he's even sturdy enough to make it through a season anymore.
Because he's a powder. You know that. Like, if he isn't where he wants to be in New York because he's from Dallas, was with the Lakers before that, he's a big city boy. He don't want to be in Minnesota, man. You seen starting five.
No, how'd Sabonis look on there?
He's live. I like him a lot. He got a good little family and stuff, nice house and stuff. Boy, Anthony Edwards, boy, Minnesota, you don't want to live there. That's all. But them boys living, they living real regular. That's all I'm going to tell you. So with Ant, he probably just want to hoop, so it's cool with him. But he's doing the same thing like KG, saying the right things. He want to stay in Minnesota, but the ownership group probably won't allow him to reach his goal. So he probably end up leaving later on in his career too. You know, I could see him easily becoming a Miami Heat. So, you know, sooner or later, I think that we see Anthony Edwards out of Minnesota and he goes somewhere and wins the championship.
Hey, and while we still talking about this, look, just go grab Boston real fast for the future, plus 310. Jump on that. Free money. Again, them boys on the vengeance. This a second round 2P tour. They going to win the championship. What happened?
Yeah, they pissed Jaylen them off with the Olympics.
Man, there you go. Jaylen Brown didn't make it. Jason Tatum didn't play. That man dropped 35 last night, 15 in the first quarter. I don't give a damn what nobody say. They going to make sure they win. Healthy or not, long as them two playing, they are winning the championship. NBA, y'all better wake up.
All right, enough about the no bank account league. Let's jump into this long list of football games we got to review. Let's kick it out, Spread.
All right. The first game we will talk about, Nebraska and Indiana. Why'd we put this one on there?
So we can victory down lap. Everybody can remember how the wager world gave them the easiest.
I saw the whole world on Nebraska that morning, too.
No, for real?
I woke up and checked my timeline. Everyone go, I'm betting Nebraska plus six. I'm on Nebraska plus 6.5. Who knows?
Royal right? play.
Five-star
gave it to the world.
We cashed that thing easy.
I mean, gave it to the world, man. I don't think a lot of these people watch football, guys. You know, they don't. College football, as you and I know, just like college basketball, that's what makes me more successful than a lot of people in those two sports and tennis, because it's a lot of screen time. Like, you got to watch a lot of games to keep up with college football, college basketball, and tennis. And I like it because what I see it as is, okay, now the books have to do the same thing, and they're lazy. You know, you work there. They're not paying attention to a lot of these mid-major conferences in football and tennis. Much. They're not worried about these 100 tournaments, these 250s. They're worried about the four majors. That's the only thing that's capping hard. All the rest of that stuff, they're just throwing numbers out there. And Indiana's being slept on. Indiana should be already in the top 10. I looked at that, the polls last night with college football. I couldn't believe they had Iowa State up there. Bro, Indiana would beat Iowa State by 2 touchdowns on the neutral field right now. Mm-hmm. So let them keep sleeping on Kurt Cignetti. Let them keep sleeping on my guy, Nathan Rupp. We're going to keep making money with him. As I told you guys, baby Mahomes is not ready to get embarrassing effort by Nebraska. And we've seen in the past that this coach enjoys running up the score. He did it to James Madison. So we'll be on Indiana all year. We're going to continue to run to ride him.
Cino, did you watch that game? I turned off at halftime and just started enjoying the money.
Man, same thing. Baby, my home list. Somebody said that in the comments. Well, we had that as a raw play, man. That was, again, a 5-star. I piggybacked a little bit off of you with that when I dug a little deep. And I'm like, Indiana don't never lose in this situation. What is this? Free money. And it was nothing like starting the weekend off with a runner, man. We cut a bad look. She even excited. She back there hollering. She don't know what she's talking about. She get excited because she knows she about to get something. But 5-star, great call on that with me, brother.
Appreciate that, bro.
I mean, Saturday was just easy wins. The next one, Illinois. They won straight up. They won straight up. And, you know, Sino's off that Michigan train this year. Maybe next year they'll start making money for us again. But right now they seem to be a pure fade. What'd you see in another easy win for the wagering world?
Man, that was just a layup. Illinois came out with them 1920 helmets.
Them leather helmets.
I was about to beat their ass. As soon as I saw that, I said, oh. They taking it back to the days. Granger Lee type of guy. So these boys mean business. But as simple as this, the books were slipping on this line. And then they tried to trick everybody. Right before the game, they ran it up to +175, Michigan -5. And I texted all my guys in my group, and I said, hey, guys, pound it again. Go take Illinois +175 right now. Like, they're slipping because Illinois is a better football team than Michigan this year, guys. Whether people want to understand it and realize it or not. And as I spoke about on the previous show, I knew that Brett Bielema was going to have that defense ready to go this game. Michigan does not have a trigger man. You cannot win in any level of football without a quarterback. And they don't have a quarterback. And just a tough situation for Sharon Moore. I hate that he's going through that, but it's going to be a real rough year up in Ann Arbor. And it's looking good in Champaign. Illinois is a really good team. Luke Altmyer, a name to watch, really good quarterback. He might end up sneaking in the NFL.
What'd you see in there, Cino?
Five Star was smart. And when I seen them damn leather helmets, I use this in my handicapping, guys. Like, stuff like this for real. Because, again, yeah, it's still a storyline. And teams with LeBron James and his son last night, they couldn't lose in that situation. Now, people wrote that, and it was the 100th anniversary or something.
Yeah.
Somebody, he did something, 6 touchdown passes. I can't remember, but I heard him talking about it. I'm like, right, they fry these people. What? Free money. And Michigan got a long way to go. They're not the same team it was last year. And we're not going to be screaming Michigan that much this season on the Waging World.
Maybe on basketball, they're going to be good in college?
I don't know. That's a whole week. 2 more weeks.
All right. We'll go to you 5-star in a month for that. We'll find out.
What about Michigan college basketball? I don't know what kind of players they're going to have, man. They got rid of Juwan Howard. You know, Juwan Howard had the plugs. He could get them anybody they wanted. So we'll see what kind of talent they end up filling out. They might end up falling off.
All right, we'll find out. Another program falling off, Alabama Crimson Tide, as they fall to Tennessee. Another winner for us, 5-star. That was at least an exciting game that was worth our time. And, you know, Tennessee got it done. What's next for the Crimson Tide? They're still going to make the 12-team playoff, right?
I'm going to let Cino break it down because this was his biggest play.
Of course. Look, 5-star. Like I said last show, you guys, Nick Saban, man, that's one thing I learned about being around 5-star, you guys. Coaching is everything. Offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, head coach, quarterbacks are everything. Nick Saban, not that no more. That's a whole different quarterback team, and I told you I was going. It's hard to go in somebody's hometown. I'm in Baton Rouge. I'm from Baton Rouge, from that area. I used to go to LSU games all the time. It's hard to go in Death Valley and win. It's hard to go on people turf and win, and we seen Bama struggling. I gave everybody Tennessee money line. We said it on the show. And then 5-star even said the over. So some people money line. I'm sure y'all got paid off of that game. And again, Jalen Milroe, he got to get it together. With, I don't know, these interceptions and stuff like that, turnover machine, is might start getting to his head. Alabama, they not used to losing. It's a whole different program. Will they make? That's a great question, man. Like I told y'all, at the way it's the year change. It's 2024. Shit ain't going how it used to go. For real, I don't know, man. I don't know.
5-star, what'd you see in the Tennessee game? And is Alabama out of the championship picture now?
Yeah, Alabama doesn't have a defense with these new offenses that we're seeing where everybody can put up points. They just, you know, outgunned Georgia. That's basically was it. But now Kalen DeBoer is starting to feel the pressure, man. It's a lot of pressure being the head man at Tuscaloosa. Coming behind Saban. As we said, we thought he was the perfect hire, but we knew he was going to have some rough spots, man. It started out sweet, but it's never sweet when you're replacing a legend, man, and it's as simple as that. Also, he's going to have to find him a defensive coordinator because I don't know what the hell they're doing on defense. They look pretty good in the first half, but remember, when we talked about this game, we spoke about the fact that Josh Heupel is an offensive coach. Even though Tennessee hadn't looked good, he'll find a way to put some points up against Alabama. And in the second half, they were able to do so. Went right down to the wire. One of the biggest wins in Tennessee since probably the last time they beat Alabama a couple years ago on that same field at Neyland Field. One of the greatest atmospheres you're going to always see Tennessee, man. Great call by Cino. Me and the clients played this one as well. We took the points, though. We didn't take money line. We had +3, but I'm happy everyone was able to cash. Really successful Saturday.
I didn't watch this one at all. What did you see when Colorado took on Arizona, 5-star?
Colorado and Arizona. All it did was prove what I already knew. Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback in college football.
College football.
Travis Hunter wasn't there. What did he do? Same thing, same results. Colorado was doing the same thing that we saw at Jackson State. We're seeing the same thing where now Coach Prime's in the second season. He's got guys buying into the system. He's got rid of the guys who weren't buying into the system. He's made some great hires on his coordinating staff. I've gone with Pat Shurmur, former professional football head coach for the Giants. Now he's running that offense. He teaches Shador a lot about, you know, checks at the line, how to read coverage, and then he has Big Warren Sapp. All of a sudden, now Colorado defensive line look like beasts. Them kids were getting ran all over last year. Now look at them. You know, just Coach Prime knows what he's doing. And it's, it, I know you don't like him because, once again, what it's based on, what everything is based on, just say you're a hater. You know, the man's been successful at everything that he's doing. Why would you think he wasn't going to be successful in Colorado, too? Get downplayed. Now, all of a sudden, the TL's very quiet about Colorado. They were losing. The whole timeline was all filled with hate for Coach Prime and should do this, should do that. Now, every time Colin Cowherd comes on the TV, he said they were a joke from the beginning of the year. Guess what he's saying now? Shador Sanders is the only quarterback coming out this year that you can trust. He's the only clear number one pick. He's the only clear-cut favorite. I've been saying this since last year, right? So
The wagering world,
man. You guys have to understand, it isn't about now. It's the ability to see what's about to happen. That's what makes us good at sports betting as well, man. You guys continue tuning in to the Wagering World. We appreciate you for tuning in. Easy win for Colorado. I like everything that the Buffs are doing, and I'm looking forward to them winning the Big 12 and making the playoffs.
See, you know, I'm going to just move to the next game and continue the conversation, but I want to start with you here. Georgia played Texas. Biggest showdown, maybe arguably biggest game of the year. And I'm tuning in, right? I'm a Raiders fan. We're looking for a quarterback. I didn't see an NFL quarterback on that field. Not until Arch Manning came in and threw a couple passes there. But he still needs some development as well. But the idea that Quinn Ewers is a first-round pick, you got to be kidding me. I didn't see any of that. And Carson Beck, I think he could be successful in the NFL. But he's not going to turn around a Brad franchise. He's going to have to go somewhere where everything's all in place and just do what was asked for him. I didn't see first-round talent on that field in the quarterback position. Sino, tell me everything you saw in that game, but I especially want to hear these quarterback breakdowns because at the beginning of the year, I told Five Star, I think Carson Beck might be better than Shador Sanders. And from what I've seen so far, Shador Sanders is the number one overall pick, and Carson Beck is a second-rounder. What do you think, Sino?
Hey, I said that last show, a couple shows ago. Carson Beck, his draft, he's down. His stock is down. The only reason Georgia won that game last week because it was hype. Georgia, they had to redeem themselves. They had to. That's the only game the Wagering World really lost was Texas. And the whole world was on Texas. So that was a book game. I'm sure people had Texas. First quarter, second quarter, first half, money line, Texas minus 10, all types of stuff. And second half, got to get them out of there. I don't know. I can't explain that game. I lost a lot of money on that game. I can tell you that.
Well, to me, Georgia won the game on the line of scrimmage, Five Star. That defensive line, I mean, it looked like they were going against a JUCO team or a Division II team, right? I mean, they just went up front. Ewers didn't have any time, but that's what I saw. If he gets drafted to a top team, you're not going to a team with a good offensive line. And you told me before, you said, look at what Sanders does with a bad offensive line. He still makes it work. Ewers, he reminded me of Derek Carr, right? Second he gets in any type of pressure at all, not good at all. What did you see there when Georgia took on Texas?
You hit it right on the nail, Spread. And another thing similar to Carr, he's not a bad quarterback, but after he's hurt, he's thinking about stuff because it's false courage that he's playing with. Like, he's really at the heart. He's scary. And that's what happened with Ewers. He's a different quarterback since he got injured. Remember I told you guys last show I had some really good information from out of Austin that he's been getting shots for the show that he really wasn't ready. So I don't know if this more on Sharp than it is on him. I kind of feel like you just stick with Arch Manning the past 2 weeks and get him more ready for Georgia game and just let him know you're going to be the starter because clearly Ewers isn't himself. Like, he's not all the way healthy, bro. And that has him playing tricks with his mind now. So just a bad situation. Man, shout out to my partner Damon, man. He DJs over at Urban Social, my wife's friend's lounge over in Houston, man. Damon is my boy. We super close, fly in for me for my birthday and kick it with me. Man, he shot me a bag for us to put on Texas first half, bro. I'm so sick about that loss, man. That's why I talk about it over here. You remember we started texting. See, now we bet like Friday a ridiculous amount that he wanted to put on the first half with me. He's like, how do you think we approach? I say first half. Because by the game, I already knew how the money was flowing. Me and Jay Money had talked. We're like, man, it's going to be a lot of Texas money late. It might get stinky. You know, it might get some, you know, the book might get involved. So let's go first half because we know Texas has the better offense. We load up on it. Right before the game starts, 24 hours later, I text Cino. I say, we're dead. Cino was like, what you talking about? I shoot him the text, and I show him a screenshot. The screenshot of Stacey's had the most ridiculous first half spread I've ever seen. It had -3 Texas even money, +3 -120 for Georgia first half. Then it had +3.5 Georgia -110 and Texas -3.5 -110. I said, what the hell is this? Oh, yeah. They want people to take Texas.
That's what
I told Cena. I said, they're begging for people to take Texas. They don't even care. They're just throwing in the number out because they already know Georgia's going to win the first half. I said, we dead. I told my boy, I was like, man, this ain't about to go right. I already knew it. And it didn't go right. Georgia won the only way that Georgia can with Carson Beck at quarterback, and that's by dominating the defensive line, winning the turnover battle, playing field position. It was a real old school Kirby Smart type of game. Played it just like Saban used to play when they didn't have a real quarterback that they could trust behind center. Carson Beck, bad idea doing the private plane stuff, man. You was having too much fun in the offseason. You was not practicing. You don't look as hungry as you looked before. Maybe they can work it out to you in the NFL, but I'm like these guys. I don't trust that guy in the center. I don't just trust Quinn Ewers. They're going to get some GMs fired when they come to the NFL for sure. Another thing about this game, did you guys see? I was at the carnival with my kids, but I came back and watched the All-22. Texas fans throw all this stuff on the field and force the referees to change a call. Did anyone see that?
I seen it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Did I turn the game
But
off?
You know what the funny thing was? It was the right call. I mean, it was a bad call. I understand you don't want to set that precedent.
No.
But it was a bad call.
They got fined for that, too. They got fined $250,000 for that. So, kids, don't.
Did they?
Yeah, hell yeah. They got fined.
Yeah, they got fined.
$225,000, something in between that nature. And speaking of Quinn Ewers, he had to shut down the Instagram post Monday. They had some spread like wildfire. They were saying he was done on the 40 acres that was preparing for the NFL to go pro, and he shut that down. He was like, nah.
Yeah, they said he was gonna sit out. Well, he really need to come back another year, honestly, but it probably not gonna happen because the way he come back another year, then now Art's gonna be like, I'm out, man. I'm about to go to LSU and shine. You know, like, I'm out. I ain't dealing with this mess because, you know, he's been patient and waiting on his turn. When Arch Manning gets a full year of playing, he'll be a Heisman Trophy candidate. You know, he just needs more snaps. I think he's the better quarterback out that group.
What I saw from Shador, I said, please let me get that guy on the team. Okay, and then I watch the next game and I go, please don't let me have either of these guys on my team.
Right. Now, the Raiders ain't stupid. They're not drafting them boys. You can bet that. If they don't get Shador, they're going to get Cam. They know that the game's changing. They're trying to get a quarterback who can make plays, you know, from the pocket and also, you know, can scramble if needed to. And Shador isn't even one of the best scramblers, but he's so special from the pocket, it just differentiates him from everybody
else. That's what I really want. Yeah. I want someone to throw darts from the pocket. Yeah. You know, LSU and Arkansas, what'd you see there?
To be honest, I didn't even watch the game. I already
knew. Then why are you making me stay on the game?
No, because I already knew it was
you
gonna
happen. You can't miss none of the ways to wear a record.
We gave out five and one. Really 6-1 because 5-star gave out the over on that Alabama game.
Man,
it's the ways of world. We cutting up around here. We're gonna celebrate our victories just how we talk about them losses. And we gonna same
right.
Energy every time, man. And the people love it. They love it. And again, it's the hometown. I see somebody saying my LSU plays in New Orleans.
Yeah, they say don't bet.
They say don't bet them. They fam. Y'all funny, man. But again, big nuts. That's my LSU man. They over there finding a way. The defense finally starting to step up. I guess they starting to see the social media and everybody talk about them. So they starting to play. Brian Kelly, he always make adjustments, and they start to play better towards the end of the season. And like I said on the last episode, LSU should win every game from now on this on their chart. So we riding LSU every week, baby.
Five-star, did you watch the game or we just victory lapping something we didn't watch?
Yeah, I watched it either. I watched most of it because I had LSU, of course, we all did. It went just like we expected with Taylen Green not being able to do anything against that defense for LSU. They're starting to shape and form into a really good defense. my boy, I ain't gonna say what they call him, but he's another Burge Honey Badger. That boy a beast. for the safety for LSU number 40. That kid can play. He can go, man. He's trending up. Everything's trending up for LSU, man. They really got a pretty much clear path, I think, to running the rest of the schedule. And I just look forward to them facing whoever they're going to face during the rest of the year. Because I don't see anyone, as Sino said, beating them the rest of the year. I think LSU is the most dangerous team left in college football. I think that Georgia does not want to play LSU because even though Georgia can dominate some teams on the line, I don't see them throwing around LSU like that on the line. And LSU has the wide receivers that can win against that press coverage that Georgia likes to play. So LSU is a dangerous team. I've told you many times before on the show, talented just from top to bottom. Now it's all on Brian Kelly to do what he needs to do.
Yep. And the only game I was worried about was them playing Alabama, but they got to go in Death Valley and win now.
Nah, ain't no way Alabama gonna
play. Hey, that's what I'm saying. I'm super confident. Nah,
they don't beat them.
This is a whole different year, baby. Whole different season. Shout out to that U.
Yep.
All right, now we can move to the NFL. So, you know, are we ready?
We're ready. Of course, we ready. The first game, Big Meech home. That's the game we gone. Big Meech home. 5-star. What we hopping on? What we about to hop in? We ain't even hopping nothing to go to the past. We gotta hop in something to go to the NFL because we cut a bad that too.
Yeah. The Lions got the win over the Vikings. Man, I was rooting for the Vikings in that one, but the money was on the Lions. Boy,
I told y'all the numbers. Either way. I told y'all the numbers. I told y'all, man. I told y'all. And Meech home. Meech on the phone. Meech on the phone. Getting pedicures. Big chains home. Meech home. Meech ate a Detroit Lions.
I need you to wish me luck.
What? You seen it? You seen it? Yeah. Meech ate. Man, the Lions look good. They look real, 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 real good. Like you said, Jack, small hands. He came out to play. I ain't lying. I was shaking in my boots because the Minnesota Vikings could have won that game in the end. They had every chance, but it's all politics right now, man. That's all it is. Win the year election, y'all. It's politics.
All right, 5-star. What'd you see there, man? The one thing that I really took away from the game, we were wondering how the Lions pass rush would fare without Aiden Hutchinson. They looked to get plenty of pressure on Sam Darnold, and that could have been the difference in the game.
Man, that Detroit offense right now is just unstoppable. They've gotten to that point where, you know, when an offense is really good, when you're betting against them on third down, you already know they're about to make it and break your heart. That's how the Lions have gotten on offense with my guy, Jared Goff, man. Anyone who knows this show and follows me know I've been a Jared Goff guy since he left Cal, man. At the Rams, I was a Jared Goff guy. And I just wanted them to get rid of Fisher and get him a proper coach. They got Sean McVay and Shine. Sean McVay turned his back on him for Matt Stafford. He still went over to Detroit, built something out of nothing over there, Shine. This kid is tough. He's one of those guys who he doesn't have to show, you know, all of his toughness and act bad. And he acts like just a regular guy, but he has some of the most courage in the NFL, fighting spirit, competitiveness in the NFL. And he's been successful everywhere he's went. He's one of the most underrated professional quarterbacks in the world. Is Jared Goff. He should be being spoken of right now for MVP, and I haven't heard anyone say anything about it. It should be Lamar, Jared Goff to me for the MVP right now. Jared Goff is playing that good. The type of completion percentages we're seeing out this guy are unreal. Like, kids in high school playing against lesser competition are going 22 out of 25, and he's doing it against pros, man. Like, this time to give Jared Goff his flowers, man. He is the key to that resurgence. Even more than Dan Campbell, he's over that resurgence over with the Lions, man, because that offense is something serious. We haven't seen Brian Flores' defense look like that against anybody. Like, they made a big play at the end of the game with that fumble recovery and touchdown that could have got them the steal right there of the game. They could have really stole the game then. So a big play by his defense at the end of the game, but for the most part, Detroit did what they want to do against one of the best defensive coordinators and defenses in the NFL. Detroit's going to be around all year. We're not surprised on the wager world. As you remember, I gave out preseason that they go over their win total and that they win the division at the end. But I still think the Green Bay gets them in the playoffs.
All right. The Packers got the win, but the Texans got the cover. I thought the Texans were going to get that one. That could have gone either way there. I know that was a big one for the books getting that Texans cover, because it felt like everybody was on the Packers there. And I was really surprised, because I felt like it was a coin flip game. So to get 3 points, that was the one that decided it for me. But C.J. Stroud has to be disappointed, because that was a winnable game. However, Texans are still 5-2, still looking good. What did you take away from that game, Five-Star?
Worst game that C.J. Stroud has played in his career. 10 out of 21 on the 86 yards. The key to the offense, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon came back, did what he needs to do. Slow it. He's not doing a good job offensively. Or maybe they need to just hire that guy's name. What's his name that used to run the New England Patriots offensive line? That works so
Dante
long.
Scarnecchia? Dante Scarnecchia. He's like 80 years old. I don't think he's coming back.
Long as he can breathe. Long as he's not like Jimmy Carter.
Man, five wild.
Jimmy Carter.
Long as they're not rolling him up in a bed, he can get up and move around and talk. Bring him. Because the Texans have the worst offensive line in the whole NFL when it comes to synchronization. They do not work together well. They do not read signals well. Green Bay was just outthinking them. The ex-coach for Boston College is the defensive coordinator over there, Jeff Hadley. He was killing them, man. He was killing the Texans. Bobby Slovis looked like he didn't know what the hell to do. And still, even with that said, they were able to cover this game and should have won the game. Horrible clock management by the offense. You have the ball. It's 2 minutes left. Green Bay has two timeouts left. You're in field goal range. The Texans come out and just run the ball and allow Green Bay to use the timeout, make them kick a field goal. And I tweeted at the exact time Green Bay about to win this game by a field goal. As soon as the Texans, how they play, it was third down still. Just, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if D'Amico's learning on the go on how to deal with these in-game situations and time management or what. He trusts Slovis with the offense, but some things need to be changed, man, with the Texans offensively, because they're doing a disservice to C.J. Stroud and those playmakers on the outside. Big drop by Tank Dell in the end zone. He still isn't playing up to what he did his rookie year, man. I don't know what's going on with him. Hopefully he gets his swag back. Jordan Love a beast, just like I always told you, was some of the best throws you're going to see. That window throw that he made in the end zone, the craft in the second quarter, one of the best throws you're going to see, man. And one of the Texans safeties was like, it went straight through my hands. How is that a good throw? Because it went through your hands. It got to his target. That's why it was a good throw, Murray. So just an outstanding game. These two teams are going to be around all year. I'm not worried about it, but the Texans better fix that offensive line. And call Dante Scarnecchia. We need you over here. Call his son or somebody. We talking about nepotism. Does he got a son? Find his son and just see if he took some notes from his dad, because the offensive line is horrible for the Texans. They do not work together well.
Yeah. In the books, we call those book games, because everybody was on the Packers.
Yeah.
And again, I told my clients, I said, nah, we're going to money line the Packers and we're going to tease them up to +3. One guy was like, let's buy it down to -2.5. I said, you can do that. Packers going to win by 2. You're going to be sick. I even have the receipts to prove it. Right. And whenever it came down, I said, oh, Packers about to win this game by 2. Here it comes. So, yep.
Yeah.
We went. We actually, and out here on this right here, I split. I said, I lean Packers money line. I mean, at a -3. So, if you played both, you broke even on that game.
Yep.
One of the biggest surprises of the weekend was not the Seahawks getting the win, but in the manner in which they did so. Ooh. This team is Jekyll and Hyde. They start out 3-0. We all loving them. They fall to 3-3. They can't get a stop. They lose their identity. Now they get a couple key defensive pieces back, and we see what this team could really become. But what it came down to me, and I told this to Tyler, if the Seahawks are playing against a team that can't get a pass rush, right? So let's look at pass rush win rate. If they in the bottom half of the league, you can bet on the Seahawks. Because Geno Smith, he looked good when he got time, but he can't get things done under pressure. So if they play against a team with an excellent pass rush, you know, like a Nick Bosa, a Myles Garrett, a player like that, stay away from the Seahawks. That was my takeaway. What did you think, Five-Star? I think Seattle's still pretty good, and I have no idea what to make of the Falcons. Both these teams, man, they're so different week to week. What's going on with these two teams?
They're difficult to handicap. I just continue to sit on the ticket that I have for Seattle to win the NFC West. I thought thought that they would, and that plus 420 is looking really good right now. They seem like the most solid team, even though they lost to the 49ers. I still think they got the best roster when healthy. You know, I feel like
49ers are a bad matchup for them, though, because Bosa that, just eats.
Yeah,
that's the bad the game record. But if a team don't got a Bosa, don't got a Myles Garrett, they can look really good.
Kenneth Walker is a beast. I've told you before, he just needs to just stay healthy. If he's healthy, he might be the best running back in the league pretty soon. So if I was the Seahawks, I'd concentrate on keeping that defense healthy because we've seen what Mike McDonald can do when he has his full squad, as I expected, coming from the Ravens. He was a really good play caller on defense, and he continues that. And just offensively, keep Kenneth Walker healthy and keep getting him the ball, man. Him and Bijan Robinson, those two are the future to me at running back in the NFL. I like both of those guys because they're both effective in so many ways on the field. So just a good game. And Atlanta continues to be the weirdest team to bet in the whole NFL. Being the clients, we won on this one. We had Seattle plus three, but it could have went either way.
Either way, and it's nuts because me and my people, we had Atlanta first half, right? And Bijan and T.A., they had a crazy – they was dominant on the ground in the first half. And the people – I know they was. How you know I was cutting up about that game. Then Young Wei Hu, he missed the field goal. I'm like, they're not going to win this game. And they're a second-half team. They didn't even show up in the second half. Great win. Great call by you guys. Y'all got
– touchdown before the half by Metcalf killed you, man. They hit a bomb on them right before the break. And I'm like, it's 4 seconds left, you guys. But, I mean, went our way, so I was glad for it on our side. But I was just like, that's weird how a lot of these teams are playing. Because I saw Cincinnati do that to the Ravens a couple weeks ago. I'm like, how are you giving up in pro football a 40-yard touchdown before the half with 4 seconds left? I just don't get it. But another thing, how's Metcalf? You guys see anything about the injury? Is he out?
I'm expecting him to play. I don't think it's that bad.
Okay. All right, cool.
But we don't have things for certain, and we'll see. Obviously, that's big against the Buffalo Bills this week. But we'll talk about that more on Friday. Hopefully, we'll have more information. Right now, I'm leaning towards he will play. But if he doesn't, it's not going to be forever. He might miss this week. If not, should be back next week. Man, you know, another one I was surprised about, you know, I do a lot of shows. I read a lot of content. I could not believe how many people were on the San Francisco 49ers.
Me neither. And I go,
every single time these people go, I'm never betting against Mahomes again. I'm never betting against Mahomes again. Then I log on and they betting against Mahomes again.
What's the name of today's show, Spread?
Yeah.
This is being a hater. That's what it's about.
I think what's happening here, and I want to think of a little analogy here, right? And this is what I think of the Chiefs offense. I remember when I worked at the bar, right? There was this girl that came in, right? Pretty overweight. She wasn't that hot at the time, right? But I went to high school with her, and she was so fine back then. That's what I had in my head.
Right. I think
that's how people think of the Chiefs offense. They're thinking like she's this fine girl from high school, but they're not really that anymore. If we just looked at the Chiefs right now, they're like a Baltimore Ravens, a Pittsburgh Steelers type team. This team wins with defense. Yep. This team wins by running the ball. And they resurrected Kareem Hunt's career with their ability to win on the line of scrimmage here. This Chiefs is the defense first team. And I thought the defense really won that game for them again. San Francisco 49ers, man, that window might be closed with the Ayuk injury. I know John Lynch has got to be sick because I'll bet you in his head this summer he was thinking about not paying him. And he paid a bunch of money and didn't get any of that production. And I'll be wondering if he can even be the same player when he comes back from that injury. Debo's out with pneumonia. Who knows when he comes back? I'm seeing the injury report this week. We don't know if Kittle's going to play. We don't know if Jennings is going to play. So it could be rough for the 49ers here. That's why I think that Seahawks ticket looks even better. I think the years and years of all that extra football finally catching up with this team. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm not betting against the Chiefs no matter what. This team just continues to win. If they're a dog, it's just an instant play. What'd you see, five-star?
You own it. This was one of the rare times that I didn't bet football, and I got my ass whooped for it because I talk to you guys all the time about Brock Purdy. He's not that good, man. He's not that good. He's been blessed to have a really good offensive system and some dynamic players around him. As soon as those dynamic players are gone, how does he look? So this was all my fault for taking the 49ers. I even gave it out like on the radio. I took them first half everywhere, radio, on a couple shows on here. And I apologize, guys, because I always talk about betting football. But I thought that Shanny and those guys would play with some fire, seeing the Chiefs coming in town. They've lost to them twice, but now I can understand. They're just the Chiefs' bitch. Like, as simple as that. That's what it is. Like, the 49ers and Shanahan have just accepted it. We can't beat the Chiefs. Like, they've accepted it. They didn't play with any fire. They didn't look anything like I expected them to be. And the Chiefs just showed that they're clearly the superior team. Kudos to Patrick Mahomes. Even though everyone's saying all this stuff about he's not as good as he used to be. They're a defensive team. He allowed them by working a contract and basing his career kind of like on Tom Brady's path. He saw what Tom Brady did with New England and made sure that he got in there with his GM and said, what can we do? Well, I'm still making some money, but I'm able to make it where we can fill out this roster and we can play different types and different styles of football. I don't want to just be out here playing a sling it all over the field type of game. They came up with a great plan. They spend their money on the line. And they draft young guys every year out the draft to be the skill players for them. And Mahomes works with whatever they give them, and they still win. So Patrick Mahomes is getting a lot of hate right now. People are saying, you know, like, oh, he's not that good. I agree. Lamar is the number one player in the league, but this still is Patrick LeVar Mahomes. Like, don't think that he can't play when he wants to. He's just playing with his team and going with the style that's worked for them the last couple of years. They just won a championship playing this method. He just saw the Patriots win 7 championships for Tom Brady with this same method. So he's doing right. He's a really smart, high IQ kid, and he doesn't care about what anybody's saying. He's only caring about winning, and they're doing that.
I think Mahomes taking a page out of Tomlin's book and saying stats are for losers. Look at him on the first 2 downs. He just plays within the system, gets the ball out quickly, like you talked about with Brady. Manning used to do too. Why do they do that? To avoid hits. Then look at him on 3rd down. Completely different player. Moving in the pocket, extending plays, doing whatever it takes to get done. That's why he's not putting up these big numbers this year, because he's content to play within the system on those first. He's choosing his spots, man. And that's why he's not putting up big numbers. But they continue to win, and that's the only stat he seems to care about. What'd you see, Cino?
Hey, all I can say is, Brett, I loved how you talked about the high school thing with the girl. Well, guess what that girl just did? She just got a BBL because the Chiefs just added DeAndre Hopkins. So
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so Mahomes got another weapon to go to. And again, I told y'all last show, all season, 5-star made me understand this. I don't know how he went against Mahomes. Man, don't fade that guy. I don't give a damn who y'all, but it could be me and 5-star and spread on the 1-2 and the tight end. Don't fade him. He going to make it work. And again, football is a team sport, man. These guys, they can manage. And Patrick Mahomes, he's doing real, real good at managing and getting wins. And speaking of that, shout out to Russell Wilson. He got that win. We get to that shortly. But the Chiefs not going nowhere, y'all. Just get used to it. Get used to it. Simple as that.
And the Niners are exactly what I talked to you guys about preseason when I saw them not having McCaffrey. I know McCaffrey probably not going to play the rest of the year. They just was trying to continue, make it sound good. They want him in the ground. You know, like he's giving them all he can give them. Hopefully he's able this year that he takes off, get himself back together, and be back playing football next year. But we know the shelf life on running backs. It's not long. And without him, Shanahan, his message is kind of getting, you know, stale in the locker room too, man. They're older. I think the window for the Niners, as I predicted, is closed this year, and I will not be surprised if they don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where the 49ers go from here. Of course, I still think that Chiefs is a tough defense. I think that we think of the Ravens, we think of the Steelers as these great defensive teams. We need to start putting the Chiefs in that category. Speaking of the Steelers, man, my favorite victory lap of the weekend. You know, I'm Team Tomlin all the way.
5-star!
Not that I have anything against Aaron Rodgers, but I just think it's an organizational mistake to turn your whole team over to a 40-year-old quarterback. And everybody thought, you know, this is a fantasy footballization of the NFL. Oh, they got Devontae Adams now. Well, guess what? Devontae Adams can't block. Devontae Adams can't stop the run. And that was the two problems with the team. And I've kind of railed against Rodgers as a 40-year-old quarterback, but more I watch that game, I think the problem is the 40-year-old left tackle. I mean, you know, you put Rodgers in Detroit behind that line, he would probably be an MVP candidate too. So I don't want to say that it's all his fault here, But, you know, once again, it's just a bad organization failing to address the needs. And then I also think, you know, hey, you want to fire Saleh, and that's all great. And, you know, I'm glad you're happy about that. But you just made a life a lot harder on your defensive coordinator. And we kind of saw the results here in the first two games. I understand, you know, give up points to Buffalo. That's, you know, we should throw Allen in that conversation we were talking about earlier with Lamar and Mahomes as those elite quarterbacks. So I'm not upset about that. But you let Russell Wilson put up 37. Okay, now I think we can officially say that that defense has issues, and I'm not surprised that it regressed with Ulbrich, you know, going from dealing with 22 players there just on the defensive side of the ball to having to deal with the whole team. So the Jets organization is a mess. But five-star, they'll get back on track. We won't be taking this victory lap the next week. They'll probably win three of the next four games. I think Houston will beat them, but they'll probably win the other three. So not all is not lost in the land of the Jets. However, it's just, you know, you see one well-run organization in the Steelers and an organization that's kind of just throwing stuff at the wall in New York. What did you see there on Sunday Night Football?
Man, I'm fading the Jets every time I can fade them because they continue to
well, I don't know about this week.
I am. I'm fading the shit out of
them. You taking the Patriots?
Patriots might money line them. They might money line them. They for sure going to cover seven. Drake May the quarterback. So the Patriots are going to score some points. Drake May is the quarterback, bro. You just said it yourself. The Jets aren't the same defense they were under Robert Saleh. And this goes all the way back to me and Jeremy Branham talking last year. He in Vegas, they always have like a radio row before the season starts in football. They have all the different guys coming to Vegas from different radio stations. And Jeremy has a show called The Killer Bees that he does out on ESPN 97.5. And he asked me 2 years ago, he said, who's the most overrated team in NFL that you're going to be consistently looking at the fade? I told him last year, Jets. And I'm still riding it, and I've done really well. Every time the Jets come on the board, I take the other side. Because God don't like ugly, and he ain't too fine or cute. And what they do over there, they running everything the wrong way, man. They bad juju on everything that they're doing. Find Robert Saleh like that, making the security take this man out there. He's been the best thing that was in that whole building, and you treat him like that. You Aaron Rodgers over there with that slimy, snaky stuff he doing, getting all his homeboys over there. Anyone he could get them to get. These people ain't even thinking about their future. They just doing whatever Aaron Rodgers say. Now you got Devontae Adams, Loserville. Who the hell Devontae Adams won? He could go over there and lose some more, make some more Taco Bell commercials, and come right back out here in Henderson and live this summer because he's not moving his family to New York. It's just a stop real quick, a little play with my homeboy, steal some money, have some fun. We're gonna stay up all night and do shrooms and talk about conspiracy theories together. It'll be fun.
Oh my!
Come on, God, man! I ain't taking the Jets serious on nothing, nothing, bro. I can't take the Jets serious.
You know, same thing from a football perspective. Who watched that game against the Bills and said, "You know what the problem is on the Jets? The wide receivers."
Come on.
Bro, Garrett Wilson was getting open just fine. Alan Lazard was doing just fine. Tyler Conklin's fine. Why are you adding receivers when you can't stop the run and you can't block the ball? I just couldn't believe it.
Right. It's just stupid. But let's give props to a real organization with some real foundation, and that's Mike Tomlin, the great Rooney family, who's had how many coaches they had? Spread three or four?
Like three in our whole lives and our 48 years old.
The whole existence of a franchise.
They did.
The Jets and had, coaches. Don't stop it. I'm tired of these dudes. I'm tired of them getting on TV. I'm tired of people talking about them. And I'm going to fade them every time that I get a chance to because it's a clown show over there. Steelers, Mike Tomlin always knows what he's doing. We saw a lot of tweets.
He learned that.
From Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is an insider, man. He still talks to a lot of those people on that Pittsburgh team, him and AB. You know that because all of those young boys look up to them. There was over there a couple like George Pickens who were just like starting their career when those guys were leaving and still were around the building. They love those two. You know, they were the first dudes who was really getting some money over there with the Steelers out the new generation. You know, so they look up to him and Le'Veon Bell kept saying, AB kept saying, Russell Wilson about to add out. George Pickens about to do some numbers. When I saw Russell Wilson come out there with them two gold chains on. I said, they
did over with. They in trouble.
He had them two gold chains on. I said, oh, they threw. They got the new hip rush. So he got a handshake for every player on his offense now. So yeah, Russ is ready, man. I think that they're going to make some noise. And, boy, if they get Cooper Kupp, I don't think it's going to happen. But, boy, Cooper Kupp, they better get him if they can. Because, really, if you think about it, the Steelers can play with the Ravens if they got Cooper Kupp because they can keep Lamar off the field. They can move the ball. They can't play with the Ravens without him because George Pickens is the definition of an X receiver. He's going to play wide. He doesn't work over the middle of the field. If you think about how many times you seen Pickens go over the middle. He wants to stay out on that island and work out there and make some great catches. He doesn't want to play dirty. They need a Kupp type of guy to go over the middle and work, and that whole offense to change. So, look for that. Let's pray that it happens for Mike Tomlin because he's such a good coach. He deserves some weapons on offense. They haven't been good on offense over there for a while. But great job by Russ. He shows he still has it. He shows that he was just dealing with a hater, man, when he was dealing with Sean Payton. And I'm not going to even say Sean Payton hating him like that. He probably just didn't dislike the type of guy that Russ is because, you know, Sean Payton a different type of dude. He want to cuss and drink. He don't want to be around nobody who, you know, trying to be perfect and, you know, pretending to be so – you know, good guy. So I understand the differences in their, you know, approaches to life. But Sean Payton is also a smart guy, and he knew that their contract was going to keep them in hell. He was trying to really get up off their contract. So he did some really psychological stuff right there. Like, let me beef with Russ so I can get him up out of here.
So, you know, what I saw in that game from Russell Wilson, let's give the Steelers some credit. It really showed me what Justin Fields needs to work on. And that's just simply the fundamentals. You look at Russ being able to hit on those short screen passes, the small passes over the middle, how he hits the guys right inside. He gave Jaylen Warren plenty of room to work. And if Fields can just dial that in, I think maybe that's, you know, some of the thing that Tomlin's thinking here. Hey, I'm going to let Fields watch this and try and work on it in practice and hopefully emulate it. Because if Fields can get down what Russ does, that timing over on that with. Short route, he's going to be really good. The question is, will he ever do it? What did you see in that game?
Just a damn spread. You took it out of my mouth because that's what I was going to get to. But no Diddy. only a few people going to get that one. But spread, when the game first started, it was a moment. Russ could have broke loose. He could have broke running for like maybe 10, 15 yards. I'm like, damn, if that was Fields, he would have, that'd be running. Maybe he'll still be running. But I'm like, oh, I see what's going on. Russ started airing it out in certain situations, making better decisions as a quarterback. And I'm like, man, if Fields could play this or get close to this and play how he's playing right now, the Steelers, they championship bound. They ready. And that's what it is because you got Mike Tomlin. You got the defense to hold him up. And you got a quarterback that can play football like that. Like Russ played the other night. You got to respect it. He ran for a touchdown, putting the ball where it needs to be on the money. With everybody watching and everybody hoping he failed. And I knew, again, I looked into the game. I'm like, damn, man, Russell Wilson not going to go out like that. If you follow me on X again, you got to win. A 5-star text me out the middle of nowhere. 5-star
say. Yeah, we out. My whole crew, we was on Steelers money line.
That's what he say.
2.5
5-star say, I'm on Steelers money line. Plus, yeah. I say, oh, my God, we sweat the whole game together. That was an easy one. Shout out to 5-star, man.
Hey, we had a good time on that one, Texas.
Oh, that was.
Say we bought that jank of Valley, bro, the Steelers couldn't drop a pass in the second half. They was making some unbelievable.
Like, what?
And then when it bounced off of Garrett Wilson's shoulder pad into the Steelers, I said, yep, that's that karma for doing Robert Saleh like that. You know, right. So. Yeah, man. I hope the Jets lose every game. So, you know, Steelers are looking good. And Russ is doing what we always talk about on this show. Every team wants a point guard at quarterback. Like, Lamar is one of the few guys that can do a me show, but he still distributes. Think about all the receivers that Lamar hits. They have some planned runs in the game. But if you think about it, he distributes the ball to everybody. He's a point guard. He just has special talent with his feet as well. Mahomes distributes the ball to everybody, but he has special talent. The Russell Wilson played point guard for the Steelers, and that's all they wanted to do. Because when they have Justin in there, Justin isn't trusting his eyes right now. He's going to look at one receiver, and he's going to use his athleticism. And that kind of, you know, keeps the offense just, you know, kind of stagnant. So I like what the Steelers did. Let's see how it looks going forward because this is just 1 week.
All right. Final game that we're going to talk about in the past before we get to breaking down the upcoming games. Baltimore Ravens look good, man. But we already knew the Ravens were good. Poor Buccaneers. We talk about the 49ers window closing. I don't know if the Buccaneers had a championship window, but boy, they took some big hits on the injury front. I just saw it right now. Godwin is confirmed out for the season, but we pretty much all knew that. And they're going to miss Mike Evans for a little while there. Jalen McMillan's a fine young player, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. And it's really too bad because I thought that Tampa Bay story was something fun, especially the renaissance of Baker Mayfield. What'd you see in that game, Five Star?
We took the Ravens first half -3. Barely got it, but we did get it. I text Cito during the game. I said they're about to score 17 points in the second quarter, and they did.
They did. I said,
when that team cranks up on offense, I haven't seen anything like it, what the Ravens look like on offense. Because they can actually run the ball for 5 yards, 10 yards a pop, and then they can throw the ball for 20 yards a game. Like, it's ridiculous the type of yardage that this team accumulates with Lamar, man. They're just going to be tough to beat. I think this is their year, man. As long as they stay where they're at, they should be okay. They're going to miss Marlon Humphreys. He's not a great coverage cornerback, but as we saw in that interception against Baker Mayfield, excellent zone cornerback, very smart kid. I don't think it's bad enough for him to be out all year. Hopefully he'll be back, you know, by the playoffs for them and everything with that injury he caught. But that's the type of team that I think Zach Orr will be able to put it together. They don't have to hold teams to, what, 20, 21 points, 24 points, and they'll win because that offense is going to score 27 points every game. I don't see anyone but the Chiefs being able to contain them, you know, from scoring and doing what they want to on the field. It's just a really good year. It's a beautiful thing to see when it all clicks and – for Lamar, it's all clicking. Bucks, I'm about to do what I knew they were going to do, and that's kind of fouled off. Not saying that I don't respect Mike Evans. You know what I think about him. Don't respect Godwin. You know what I think about him. You know, I got a lot of love for Baker Mayfield. I thought he shouldn't have been the number one draft pick. I thought his talent wasn't number one draft pick worthy, but I do think that he's a really good quarterback. He's a real pro, and I think that he can throw some really good passes. One of the better passers in the league as well, but he's about to struggle, man, because he's the definition of a point guard at quarterback. He needs players around him that can make plays when he gets them the ball in rhythm. So we'll see, man. We'll see where the Bucks go. A lot of flack right now is coming on top for keeping those guys in the game late, but, I mean, what are they supposed to do? what did my guy say? You play to win the game, you know, so –
And what did Bill Belichick say? He said, you want to know how you get better at playing football? You play football. And these guys don't get a chance to practice. He got to use this opportunity. And I don't want to be on the sideline with a coach who quits. I like the fact that they did that. And it was unfortunate, but it could have happened in the first quarter, too. It could happened out of Wednesday quarter. Practice, too. So
nothing can stop what's going to happen. Like, yeah. You're going to die today, fellas. This is a word from the wager world. If you're going to die today, buddy, you're going to die. I don't care whether you're in the plane, whether you're walking, whether you're jump roping, whether you're walking up the stairs. There's somebody today who slipped on the stairs and broke their neck and died because they were supposed to die today, man. So the things you're saying about God, we have no control as humans over these things. We can't decide when and what happens. Ty Bowles just coaching the game, man. He doesn't know this guy's about to get hurt.
And, so, you know, what Five Star is saying about Baker Mayfield being a point guard, I think that's fine. I think some people looking at that as a criticism, but I think there's really only 3 to 5 guys in the league that can carry a team. You know, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, maybe Jaden, C.J. Stroud, maybe Jordan Love. Yeah. But for the most part, most quarterbacks are like that. So I don't want to take anything from Baker Mayfield because football is a team game. But what did you see as the Ravens got the win? My only concern for that team is I do think the defense has fallen off a little bit, but the offense is so much better with Derrick Henry back there.
Yep, five star. What's the name of this show, bro?
The Wagering World.
No, what's the title of this episode right here? I'm sorry.
Oh, just say you're a hater.
Just say you're a hater, man. Lamar Jackson. Look, Lamar Jackson is what I seen last night. That's what I seen. I seen Lamar Jackson. I seen a happy Ravens team. I seen a lot of bond. I seen a lot of connection. And I said this, man, it's like the Wagering World. When you all on one page, it's hard to beat you. And people hating Lamar. They saying he not in. What? He's automatic MVP. How could you not say he's not? He's a running back. He's a running back. He right. He a quarterback. He right. He all that. He Lamar Jackson. He different. He's changing the game just like Steph Curry did. Don't hate the man. Hate the game. You hate what he doing. Hate how he doing it. Don't hate him. He great. He doing stuff we ain't never seen before, and he embracing it. Hey, Lamar, keep wearing your grill. Keep smiling with that grill. Yeah. Ever since he put that grill in, the Ravens 5-0 ever since he put it in. And I think he gonna keep wearing it. So hopefully, you know, he got some jank going on with that thing up in his that's shining in his mouth. So shout out to Lamar. I love
him. I always had so much love for Lamar, and the reason why I love Lamar so much is because Lamar is himself and just a good dude. He always is himself, and I relate to that so much because, as you guys know, my business takes me into worlds where I meet all types of people. You know, I meet and hang and got friends who, white dudes that wear polos and golf every day, guys who bankers wear suits every day, Persian guys who sell cars. You know, I'm friends with Asian guys who have dispensaries. You know, I got all types of friends and different type of groups that are friends with me in my world that I stay me. You know, I don't change up. I don't put on a polo just because my white buddy has on his polo. I don't go, you know, throw on a suit because my banker's wearing a suit. I'm going to stay being me, and that's what I love about Lamar, because really intelligent people judge by what you do and what comes out your mouth, not by how you appear.
Thank you.
Plenty to talk about. Let's dive into on to the present, and we have a good game tomorrow night. Two teams embroiled in trade rumors here. The Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams take the field. You talked a little bit about it. I saw it on your Twitter account, 5-star, that, you know, this could be the time that the Rams potentially pull the trigger on the rebuild. And I think that with the way that they develop wide receivers, they can afford to let Cooper Kupp go, especially if they get some proper compensation and give him a chance to maybe compete for another title. But with that being said, the trade will not happen before Thursday night. I do not expect, and I expect to see them on the field. What are your takes here, man? My projections have the Vikings winning by 5, but I'm not sure, man. I haven't placed a bet yet. How do you feel about this game, 5-star? And do you think the Rams can get it done at home?
The number is begging you to take Minnesota, but this year it's been mostly about football, and we know Minnesota's coming off a loss, man. They're coming off a loss. So with them coming off a loss, I got to take Minnesota money line. I probably wouldn't lay the points.
That's the play.
Yeah, I just take Minnesota money line. Yeah, because they got to win. It'll probably be about a minus 140. At the end of the day, the Rams' defense isn't good, and you're not going to make me with a number that you throw out there believe that they are. You know, like, it doesn't matter which W you put out. It doesn't change anything about the fact that the Rams are last in rush yards allowed, last in – rushing attempts against, because people know that they can run against them, in 26th rank in yards allowed. I just don't see a success pattern for that. Now, we do have to remember that Minnesota struggles with the passing game. So is Cooper Kupp going to play? Because the Rams are going to need him. Now, if Cooper Kupp plays and he's good, then Minnesota better be careful, because Minnesota's 30th ranked in yards allowed passing. They're giving up 261 yards a game. And then also, they're allowing the most completions than any team in the league as well. So be careful for the back door. That's what I was telling you guys. You got to watch the back door cover on this. But what I do like about that Minnesota defense is they're only allowing a 75 QBR to their opponents, which is really good. And they're also still second in sacks now with 4 sacks per game. And also, man, they pass Green Bay. They average 2 interceptions per game. So there's some playmakers on the back end for the Vikings. And I know Brian Flores is going to be ticked.
Oh, big time.
That didn't look good last week. He's going to turn up all types of exotics on Matt Stafford and try to shut him down. And remember, Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator in L.A. Under Sean McVay, so he knows a lot of what the Rams like to do. I like the Vikings in this game, money line. What about you, Sino?
Same exact thing, big brother. I love the money line. I'm looking at the spread again. I'm a Lions guy. This game should be just like that Texans Green Bay game. Should come down on the field goal, especially Cooper Kupp play. That's what it's going to be. And you a 5-star, you be on it, big brother. They definitely could be in the rebuilding phase, and nobody's going to be mad about that. Why? Because they have a new stadium, and you just won a championship in that new stadium. Yeah. So nobody's going to be mad. Shit, we just got a Super Bowl within the last, 4 years, 5 years? So we cool with that. They could have a whole decade to rebuild. Brand new stadium down there in Inglewood. I'm with 5 on this one. Vikings money line. Fine, that's a parlay piece. You can money line it straight. You can even tease the Vikings up with something.
Let's go to the college football world. The Syracuse Orange take on. Are they the Orange or the Orange Men? I always get
no,
that.
No, you can't say Orange Men anymore unless you talk about Trump.
Yeah, I know. I noticed they. I thought they were the Orange Men, but when I looked it up, it says Syracuse Orange. They took that away.
Yeah, that.
Politics be ruining everything.
I was just talking to one of my guys, Justin, the Warehouse Live owner, man. That's my boy. We were just talking. I was like, man, because I still accidentally put text and stuff about games. Y'all know that. I always call Cleveland the Indians still. I don't call them the Guardians. It's by accident, but it just makes me bad. I really like that Indians cap that they used to have. People say it's racist, but I really liked it, man. So that was just the times we grew up in, spread.
All right. Well, hey, give me a pick here because Pittsburgh's laying 6 at home.
Man, this game was telling me I got to take Pittsburgh. And I like Syracuse a lot. I mean, they're a really, really solid team. But I'm not going to lie, this number here is screaming to me that Pittsburgh is the side on this one. They're a really good team on Thursday nights at home under Narduzzi. Narduzzi is a defensive coordinator, but his defenses haven't been as strong as they've been in the past, probably not recruiting the same type of talent they did hold Cal. It's only 15 points last week, though, so that's a good showing because Cal is a solid team. Mendoza's a really good quarterback over there. I'm going to go with – I lean. It's not an official play, but I definitely lean on this game, Pitt. I just think that Pitt is quietly going about his business. It's 6-0, you know, and they're 5-1 against the spread. They're at home. We know what Syracuse is going to want to do. They're going to want to throw the ball all over the field with Kyle McCord. They were slowed down somewhat at NC State last week. Didn't look as explosive as they looked when they played against UNLV, but that's a step up in talent, and it's also a step up in talent playing against this Pittsburgh defense. As I've told you before, Narduzzi, that's what he does. He's a defensive guy. They have a whole lot of draft picks on the defensive side of the ball that came from Pittsburgh Panthers and went to the NFL and did okay. Main thing we need to keep an eye on is how do they hold down the passing? That's the thing, man. Can they slow down their pass? They average 3 sacks a game. They get about 1 interception. They're pretty good at getting interceptions. Not that good at turning teams over, but they are good at containing guys, and they play really good red zone defense. So give me Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh will be able to run the ball on Syracuse. I think the Syracuse will have a difficult time getting off the field. So I'm going with Pittsburgh minus 6 as a lean on this one.
Are you playing this one, Sino?
Hey, yeah, I'm gonna play it. 5-star just broke the game down so well. He actually took a lot of the words out of my mouth. The spread, 5-1 against the spread. You can't go against that Pitt. They beat Cal. I had Cal last week. I seen that game. I know what they do. The defense will be an X factor. They can step up and play like that again. The Orange will have some problems. So look, this is what we're gonna do. Matter of fact, I wait till the ball and parlay. Let's go.
All right. Next game we got on the docket. We're moving to Friday night. Let's talk about Louisville traveling to take on Boston College. Boston College is catching 7 at home.
Yeah, that's too many points. And this is probably going to be one of those games. I forgot the name of the game when they do this. They wear the red bandana for the guy who was from Boston College. And he, used the bandana during 9/11 to kind of signal people that he, that he could help them or something like that. He was like a hero on 9/11. I can't remember. They call it the Red Bandana Game, but this might be one of them because they usually do it traditionally at Boston College on Friday nights or Thursday night games when they're the standalones. I think that Boston College had a really good second half. They were getting blown out by Virginia Tech, and they kind of made it the game in the second half. We had Virginia Tech. They got a good coach in Bill O'Brien, as I told you before. Not a good GM, but a good X and O guy, and he's also a tough guy. He's really tough-minded. I think he probably worked the hell out that team this week, and probably is all on them. They've lost now 2 straight games. They're at home. I like Boston College on this one. There's too many points to give Boston College at home against a Louisville team. It's good, but Tyler Shaw is up and down. He kind of turns the ball over. He does make some big plays. He's another one of them quarterbacks that's been around the world again. He started Oregon maybe 3 years ago, went to Texas Tech, and now he's with Louisville. So soon he'll be a banker or, an insurance manager or something, but right now he's playing football, and I don't think he's good enough to cover 7.5 points against Tom Castellanos.
I'll just ride with 5-star based off the guy, just how I did off LeBron James and others. Just, hey, it's a moment.
Yep.
All right, we'll start with you on this game. A game, you know, between two programs that are doing really well this year. Boise State travels to take on UNLV. Who are we taking here?
This is UNLV's opportunity to right the ship when it comes to Boise State. They've lost to Boise State now 6 straight times, and honestly, none of the games have been close. Boise State has dominated this series. They've won by, it looks like, an average of about 30 points per game against UNLV. So now we learn, is this a new UNLV team? You guys know how high I am on Ricky White. I'm so glad that Hodge, Malik Williams is the quarterback now, because now he can get involved. Jacob Day, Jesus can get involved. Home game, I'm sure they'll be playing it over there at Allegiant. Going to be wired. Ashton Jeanty, man, can UNLV slow him down? Because he's been unstoppable. That kid's got to be averaging 200 yards a game. Every time I turn on the TV, he's making someone look bad. I was on him last year seeing him do this. He's one of those guys that his skills is going to translate to the NFL. He's going to be a good NFL running back. And I look forward to watching him play. I do like the defense, though, for UNLV. I think they have some real ballers over there on defense. I especially like their defensive captain, their linebacker, number 7. So I think I'm going to have to just bite the bullet, man, and ride with the home squad and give UNLV a chance at +3. Even though I don't like the head-to-head history, I'm not a big fan of the quarterback for Boston, for Boise State, Maddox Madison. Maddox Madison's 5'10", undersized. You know, he's all right. He's not a world beater, though. And I feel like if UNLV can figure out a way to slow down Ashton Jeanty, then they'll win this game going away. But that's the key. Can you stop Ashton Jeanty? Does his Heisman Trophy candidacy come to an end in Vegas?
All right. Ceno, are you betting this game between UNLV and Boise State?
Nope, because 5-star just hit it on the money. Can you stop Ashton Jeanty? That's the main source, the main key to it all. And UNLV, what, they're going to be facing another team that's run the ball real, real good. So they're going to have to make some adjustments, and it's going to be tough in this spot. So I stay away from these. Nope.
All right. Final game to talk about before we get to the ball and parlay. Rutgers taking on the USC Trojans. USC 3-4 this year? Not looking too good down there. Could be the last year for Lincoln Riley. What do you think of this one, 5-star?
USC's defense has not been the same since Bear Alexander said that he was going to chill and wait for NIL. He was their best player on their defensive line. He created matchup problems for them and opened up everything that DeAnton Lynn, who's Anthony Lynn's son, and a really, really hot name in the world of coaching and the defense coordinator for USC. He kind of changed things up after a really great show in LSU. Bear Alexander decided to sit out. So what's going on in the USC locker room that Lincoln Riley isn't getting a response from these guys? On this one, I'll definitely be on USC, an official player for USC first half, though. I think USC -7 first half, easy money. Rutgers starts really slow. They're not good. They got the kid over there from Minnesota as the quarterback to transfer. His name is long as hell. It's like a Greek name. But he's not anywhere serviceable. He's just a quarterback. You know, he's not changing anything. He's not making the team any better, not bringing any pop to that team. Calcamanus. Last week, he won 18 out of 30. They lost to UCLA. UCLA is not good, bro. So, Rutgers is having problems scoring, and now obviously having problems stopping people, because before that Wisconsin game, they were decent defense. They were doing pretty good in the Big Ten, holding teams down. But, man, they played Wisconsin. Wisconsin opened up a can on them, and they seem like they kind of maybe caused the mental issues for them, because now – they give up 35 to a UCLA team that wasn't scoring on anyone. So I'm out on USC on this game, because they've been starting really fast in all these games. They had a 21-7 lead on Maryland last week and blew it in the second half. So let's just take USC in official play first half. I believe it's probably -7.5. They should be about 2 touchdowns at halftime. So give me USC first half on this one.
Sino, what are your thoughts on this game?
This is my thoughts right here. I'm going to make it fast because we've been, we got, hey, if you watch college football, nobody should be betting Rutgers. Simple as that. Again, if you watch college football, nobody should be betting Rutgers. And if you bet Rutgers this season, I'm sure you're not betting them no more. I bet Rutgers this season, and I'm not betting them no more. Now, all jokes aside, bro, that team is horrible. They are.
Nah. They are pretty bad.
Yeah, nah, I went 5-star on that one. That's automatic.
Time for the people segment, the ball and parlay, and I'll go ahead and kick it off. I'm taking the Indiana Pacers tonight. I love the way that this team plays. Tyrese Haliburton, one of the best players in the NBA. And while I do think the Detroit Pistons are improved, they've had they got a lot of new parts there. They got a new coach. Beginning of the season, I want to bet on teams with some continuity. We saw that with the Los Angeles Lakers last night, how important continuity is against teams trying to work in new pieces. So while the Pistons are improved, we're not going to see it tonight. Pacers going to get the big win on the road. Give me the Pacers, -5. Sino, what do you got for us?
We're going to roll back to some of the previous plays. We did 5-star broken down real, real well. So we're going to do as a two-team six-point teaser. That should be -125. We're going to take the Panthers, Pittsburgh Panthers, to what that is, -6 to what, a pick? Yep, and Minnesota, they should be +3. So we just need Panthers to win, and we need the Vikings to hold it on tight. And I give you guys an NBA play too. LaMelo Ball coming back. They're playing against the Houston Rockets, two young teams. They think the Rockets gonna have a lot of firepower with the addition they just added, but 8 points is a lot. LaMelo Ball is coming back. I think it's gonna be a tight game again. The line's moving in our way, so let's take those 8 points too. So again, we got the teaser, and we're gonna take the 8 points with the Charlotte Hornets.
You're taking the Hornets, huh?
Yes, sir. I love that.
Man, that might be the most shocking thing I've heard today, and we've been recording for over 90 minutes. 5-star, ball and parlay, what you got for us?
We've been doing really good on tennis, man. I hit a nice one this morning, man. We had your boy RBA spread a blast with a pass. We had Robbie this morning, and we put him with Nakashima. Brandon Nakashima had a really good head-to-head against Tommy Powell. Tommy Powell never beat him, and then it also benefited us that Tommy Powell had just won a tournament. So you guys know how they are. After they win a tournament, they're instant fade first round in that next tournament usually. I'm going to keep it in tennis. I'm going to give you guys a football play as well, but let's go to the tennis courts. Been doing really good overseas over in Asia. Let's go to my girl, Sui Zhang. She had one of the worst losing streaks on the tour, man. She lost about 40 straight matches. But veterans who watch tennis like Spread and myself and Sino myself know that she was a really good player, man, especially on grass and on hard courts. She's found her swag back now that she's back over in her side of the world playing, man. And I think that -115 against Bernardo Parra is a steal. Bernardo Parra is good, but she's not consistent enough to beat Zhang in China. When Zhang's playing her normal type of tennis. So give me Sui Zhang at -115 to beat Parra. And then also, we're going to go with USC first half on Friday night, -7 over Rutgers. Well, -7.5 over Rutgers.
I haven't been betting that much tennis lately. The thing about tennis, you got to put in the work.
Yeah, I've been doing
it. Right? I can miss a night of NBA and just run my numbers and be cool. If you did not scout these players, you need to be watching their strengths and weaknesses, because we know this 5-star. Yep. These players change month to month.
That's what I just told you about.
That tape study you did at the U.S. Open ain't going to help you for nothing right now. You got to make sure you're on it. So I think that's one thing I'm good about, knowing myself. If I ain't been putting in the work, I'm not going to place the bet. I'll rely on the people like you and Sino that have actually been watching the matches, taking the notes, doing the tape study. But it's tough for me to force tennis when I haven't been giving it 100%. And I'll be honest, as much as we complain about the NFL and college football, it's had my full attention this season, even though I do believe the quality in the play in the NFL has declined. And, you know, the colleges, it's not the same as it used to be, but it's still a fun product, and I've been enjoying that a lot. But I think we got some great plays for us tonight. So I'm on the Pacers -5. Sino took the Hornets +8. Wow, fading Houston. Surprised to hear that, as well as the Vikings money line. And of course, you gave us that tennis winner, not to mention all the great college winners you got going forward. But 5-star, we went almost an hour and 45 minutes, and I think that we're going to do that again Friday, because I'm looking at the schedule this weekend, and we got a bunch of fun games to talk about and break down.
And guys, the people who come in to ask for timestamps, That's not this type of show. If you just try to come steal some information to go on about your day, that's not what we're doing over here. We came to kick it with the guys who really enjoy talking sports. This is the wager world. We bet sports, but it's more to life than just bet sports. And that's probably why we win, because we try to keep that energy about, you know, doing more for our audience than just giving them some games to play. We rolling with Swae Zhang, man. She lost 603 straight days on tour. 24 match losing streak before she broke it. And now she's been hot. And she's about to do it for us tonight against Bernarda Parra, man. Hey, guys, this is the Wager World. As Fred said, we went a little long today, but I know you guys enjoy talking sports with us, so it won't be anything for the people before we get out of here, Fred.
Man, I'm looking forward to these games tonight. More NBA action. And then, of course, we're going to have a great show for you on Friday.
What about you, Ceno?
The NBA is back. Follow Ceno on Twitter if you want any winners.
You heard that. And it's, hey, some of you guys, when you contact me to join the groups, if my price range is out of your pocket package, please contact my guys. DM Spread, DM Ceno. You might be able to work out a deal with them that's better for you, because me, it's just time thing. These guys know about me. It's me. It's like time. If it doesn't equal,
a lot going on.
Yeah, I got a lot going on. So a lot of times, I'm not trying to be disrespectful by saying no, you can't get in, or saying that it might be out your, you know, pay grade or out your bankroll. What I'm just saying is, really, I don't have time. So it's certain amounts of money that I have time for right now, because unfortunately, with what I have going on, man, with my life, being really busy doing these films, trying to bring you guys this information, trying to keep my own bankroll going right here on the Wager World. As always, this show is dedicated to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan that I know. That's John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. We'll see you guys on Friday. This is the Wager World.